You guys that were here Thursday night, how many men were here Thursday night? Man, I'm glad I was here. I tell you, I don't normally talk about it, but I got the flu last week, and it's like, no, I'm a faith guy, but I'm also I can enter into denial, but I'll tell you, it hit me like a if you said, okay, here's what you get to pick having the flu or getting hit by a truck. I'm like, fire that thing up. Let's go. Where do you want me to stand? I'll let it hit me. But Sandy nursed me back to health and came in here Thursday night and just was in shock at the team, how great the team is, you know, how the staff is, how the elders responded, how what was hard about it. It was such an overwhelming night that Jeff Bramstead, Bram, the Navy SEAL that we brought in, he was kind of overcome by it. He's an abstract thinker and communicator anyway. He probably watched at 11 because he's from San Diego, but he's a guts guy now. He's bought in. He's drank the Kool-Aid. But he's an abstract communicator anyway. And we were sitting up here on the stage, and I was supposed to kind of interview him and host it. And I'm looking at him thinking, where the heck are you going? And he'd look at me like, give me the thought, like, I don't know where I'm going. This is overwhelming for me. And it just was such an incredible night, such a great night. On the heels of the Super Bowl, I don't know, Sandy and I had the honor and the privilege of going to the 50th Super Bowl out at Santa Clara, out at San Francisco, a couple years ago, you know, and it was Beyonce and Bruno Mars and Coldplay at halftime and good seats and passes to little events that they do and they have and a parking pass, and man, it was a great week. But you know, afterwards we were flying home and I said, you know, Sandy, that was great. You know, that might have been a bucket list deal that we checked off, but I don't ever need to do that again. You know, I mean, it's a Super Bowl. I'll just stay home and eat some chili and watch it with my friends or with my wife. We'll have a romantic Super Bowl, bowl of chili at the Super Bowl party at our house. But then what happened was that Brooklyn married Press, of course, and Press coaches for the Eagles, and Brooklyn and next thing you know, the favor of God. Everybody say the favor of God. The favor of God came in and had really, honestly, it's on Press's life. And it's something that Sandy and I have believed God for our children all their lives. And the one parenting tip that I could give you guys is just believe God for his favor in your kids' lives. I'll tell you, with the favor of God, you know, you could probably interview Taylor, talk to Taylor and say, what's the number one thing that you're just thankful for and how you're raised? He said that the favor of God's operative in my life. And just the favor of God on our kids. And we always believe God that our kids would marry the right person and fulfill God's purpose. Other than that, man, life's a box of chocolates or bowl of cherries or whatever they call it. And you just, you know, you just love what you live. But the favor of God on their lives, the favor that's on Press and Brooklyn's life with the Philadelphia Eagles is shocking to me. I'll just tell you. And it's just remarkable. But we went up there. Brooklyn played we went to the Super Bowl. And through the playoffs, what happened? It's like, oh, my gosh. You know, the starting quarterback gets hurt, a franchise quarterback, probable MVP, and the backup comes in. And really, honestly, plays the whole playoffs without making a mistake. Which is very difficult to do, you know. I mean, it's hard to ride over in the bus, get out of the bus, go get dressed without making a mistake, much less playing against the level of teams and against the Patriots. My goodness, everybody's expecting them to win what, their sixth Super Bowl or whatever, and heavy favorites, and they came in but the Eagles took on an underdog approach to things, and that's my message today is that we're probably underdogs and we need to celebrate and cherish that. We need to embrace that. But in this Brooklyn, there's a wives, I never knew this, but there's a wives flag football game the Saturday before the Super Bowl. And Brooklyn caught three touchdown passes when we were flying in, because we did a wedding in Palm Springs the Friday before, and Saturday we fly in, and so we're flying in as the game's going on, and we land, and one of the first things I heard was it was going into overtime. And then there was a fight in the game, and I'm thinking, oh no. Uh-oh, I don't even want to know. And she wasn't a part of the fight, but it was competitive, I guess. But Brooklyn had three touchdown passes, and it's interesting because going down onto the field, she was walking with Jeannie Peterson, Doug Peterson, the head coach's wife, and all Jeannie wanted to talk about is, man, you were the MVP of that flag football game. And she's like, Jeannie, we're walking down to get the trophy for the Super Bowl, and you're talking about this flag football game. But it just, the game was overwhelming. It was just the whole experience. Sandy and I were sitting with Brooklyn and a bunch of wives and Teal and Kevin Hart, and it was like, "What? Where are we?" And then they won the game, and it was amazing. I think we've got a video of Brooklyn Impress. Let's roll that video for a second.
What's up, Guest Church? We just left the Super Bowl parade for the Eagles. There was over 2 million people. Pretty incredible. We just wanted to thank you guys.
We wanted to thank you guys for just the support we felt over the last really month as we went through the playoffs, and being a part of the Super Bowl run for the city of Philadelphia has been incredible. It's more than I could ever imagine. As a kid, you always dream of the Super Bowl, but living it and experiencing winning and everything like that was just beyond amazing. And having everybody really support us and behind us, and all the texts and phone calls we've gotten from you guys, the love and support. I know Pastor Bill keeps everybody updated every Sunday, but it's been awesome for us, for our family. The support we felt from you guys is unbelievable. We can't thank you guys enough.
It's surreal. I mean, as a wife, I think he's the best ever, but now that he's been coaching for 5 years with the NFL, 5 years with the Eagles, and they just won the Super Bowl. I mean, guys, this city, I have never seen anything like it. I mean, you can see it on the news, you can see it on ESPN, the NFL Network and everything, but we just went to that parade and it was like, it's just crazy.
Loudest thing ever.
And it's also so cool because this team, there are so many people on the team that love God and serve God and have a heart for Jesus. And we just feel like we have been planted here and feel so at peace about being here in Philly, obviously now that we are huge winners. But we think about the last 5 years of his career and what you guys have done for us.
Yes.
Has really positioned us to flourish in life. Like what you have poured into our life, each and every one of you, as a church family, you have built our foundation so that now we are living in the Northeast and we're able to run and not grow weary and see God's favor in everything. I mean, with this team, in our individual lives, and we just are so thankful to be a part of Guts Church, to be a part of the Eagles, that we get to combine that together and just glorify God with it. And we are just thankful for you guys, the support. It's been such a wild ride. We're so excited. And we look forward to celebrating you next time we're in town. So go Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
We love you, Guts Church.
You know, I know I'm gushing as a dad, but not just that, I'm gushing as a pastor. Because I hear Brooklyn. Brooklyn said, "Oh my gosh, your family, your attitude, you impress. It's just remarkable. What is it?" And she'll flat out tell you two things. She'll say, "Jesus and Guts Church." And it just, isn't that right, Sandy? Am I missing anything here? Is there you need to fill in some gaps for me? But this is just the Super Bowl and just the church experience the last few months has just been overwhelming for us. And I say we just keep the momentum going. We've got some changes here at the church. The Bible says for everything there's a time and for everything there's a season. Okay, and you got to be able to know what season you're in. You got to be able to, and because the lane shifts a little bit and the lane turns a little bit and the The Schaefers, Sean and Megan Schaefer, have been our kids directors, I think, for the last 7 or 8 years, and have done an incredible job. And what we've done is we've kind of flipped that over, and the Tatums are going to become the new kids directors. We're really excited about this. The Tatums are going to become the new kids directors. Jordan and Heather Tatum, she was over the nursery for a long, long time, and now they're moving over to the kids area. And I'll tell you, I think it's just going to be amazing. There's something happening here at the church, and the dynamics, I don't want you to miss out on it. You know, this week we're sending three girls over to the Middle East for 3 months. And when the first time I heard about it, I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Just as a father, as a pastor, I'm like, whoa, tap the brakes. Now, what are you going to do? And it's Amanda Satterwhite, Amanda Moore, and Rebecca Frazier are going to go to Kurdistan, that's just north of Iraq. And that what they're going to do is they're going to serve and minister and work in a house for women that have been abused, that have been just deeply scarred and hurt, you know, in that area. Women aren't really valued in that area of the world, and they're going to go in and just minister to people, and it's going to be phenomenal. They leave this week. I think we're going to pray for them at 11 o'clock. I just wanted to let you guys know that. And just so proud of them. I mean, they've had to raise money for 3 months, to live there for 3 months, not just to be able to live there, but to cover their bills here. And I know people here have supported them. The church, we as a church have written them a check and support them. They're going with J-Law's organization, World Compassion, and who does incredible work over in the Middle East. Maybe the foremost work in ministry that's happening over there. Those guys are a part of that. And I'm so proud of them. God, just bless those girls. God, to keep them safe. God, protect them. Resource them. God, we pray a hedge of protection about them. God, your word promises no evil shall befall them, nor any plague come near where they live. And we thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about underdogs today. You know, and really, we as underdogs, that, and honestly, I want to talk today about some intangibles. The intangibles of winning in life and the intangibles of overcoming. You know, leadership to me is essential. I believe everything rises and falls in leadership. When there's frustrations in the church, and I'll communicate to Sandy, I'll say, man, this right here, I want to blow the place up, or I want to just burn it down, or I just want to, you know, because I can get reactive like that. And she'll end up just looking at me. And I know that what's coming is, I'm snared by my own words, that everything rises and falls in leadership. And, you know, leadership, I like to get up and talk about leadership, and leadership being vision, you know, and man, I'm going to cast vision, and leadership being strategy. I love to just talk about strategy and, man, how to strategy. And problem solving, and, man, let's solve all the problems. Man, we can solve all the problems. We're the church. Man, we're God's leaders. We're God's people in the earth. And all the resources we have and resource allocation, let's talk about all this stuff. And man, we're great at it. We can summit about it. But you know what? Then it gets to really the nuts and bolts of winning, because we're underdogs. The Bible says, calls us even sheep that are led to the slaughter. And it's like, well, wait a second. I'm going to battle as a sheep, okay? And how that happens. And so I want to talk to you about some intangibles today that I think are vital. The first intangible is that we just have to have grit. And I think that's what guts is. Guts is just grit. Man, what's guts? We're just going to stand in the face of the storm, and we're not going to flinch. We're not going to blink. We're not going to be men and women that cower. We're not going to be men and women that when something happens that we may not agree with, or a decision's made, you know what? Having done all to stand, we're going to stand there for in the liberty and in the victory where Christ has set us free. And it's guts. And that's what guts is. It's that we're a hardened people. You know, it's interesting because Bram brought up a point Thursday night. He said, you know, there's a lot of strong people. He said he doesn't want to, as a Navy SEAL, he wasn't just looking to serve next to strong men. He wanted to serve next to hard men. And really, honestly, when you think about hard people, you know, in this life, we've had to, Sandy and I have had to harden ourselves. And the book of Isaiah, it says that we have to, it says, fear not, there is nothing to fear. This is in the Amplified, for I'm with you. Don't look around in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. But harden yourself to difficulties. Man, things are going to get tough. Things are going to be difficult. Harden yourself to it. And that requires a passion. It requires a perseverance in your life. You know, can you persevere? What you're dealing with right now, what you're going through right now, you might feel like an underdog in your life, in your marriage. You might be single. You might be divorced. You know, can you persevere? I believe our passion plays into it. You know, I love what I do so much that I have such a passion for what I do. I talked to Eric Hansen on the phone last night, and I hung up the phone. I just thank God for Eric Hansen. It's like, God, I just need Eric Hansen in my life, because what he does is he knows how to stoke that passion that's in my heart to serve God, to serve people, to be a husband, to be a father, a grandfather, you know, to pastor a church. It's perseverance. The second thing is self-awareness. You know what's interesting is that having done this as long as I've done it, being married as long as I've been married, having children as long as I've had, Taylor's 32 years old today. Our church is 25 years old. You know, it's not the first time we've ever done anything. And you know, our baby, Kennedy, has graduated from college now, graduated early, became an intern here at the church, is serving in the kids' church right now. You know, we came over to the house last night, and, you know, of course, Sandy and I said, man, just spend the night. She goes, Dad, I got things to do. And she went back to the intern house and got up early and was here at church and just getting things ready. You know, it's just interesting. She was, after the men's event Thursday night, I said, man, how you doing? She had rubber gloves on and a sponge and a brush. And I said, man, what do you need? She goes, man, teach those men how to aim a little better. And that wasn't in my notes, but she did say that. But so, man, laser focus, fellas. But you know what? There was a study that was done that that everyone, including the best leaders in the world, have an average of 3.4 blind spots in their lives. And you know, I brought up Eric Hansen, and you know, I talked to Jason Law last night on the phone, and I met with Robert Berger, the pastor of in Lima, Peru, where we sent people last year to be interns there, and he's been a dear friend and is one of those people that speak into my life. And we spent a few hours together last night. But you have to have those people in your life, because, you know, we have blind spots in our lives. And, you know, I want to tell you, I don't have any. But sometimes they're there and you're not aware of them. And what's hard is, man, those are the places where you get hit. And it's like, oh, my gosh, why does this keep happening? Because it's a blind spot in your life. And they said everybody's got, on the average, 3.4 blind spots that are in their lives. And so we need to be self-aware. We need to be aware of that we need people in our lives. You know, and I know that all of us feel like we're self-made, and all of us feel like we've earned every step and we've done every, but you know, actually the favor of God is what's overcome and helped me in my life. But also the people, God's favor, he brings people in my life, people that I need, people that are vital. You know, those people that understand your blind spots, you get tired of hearing from them. I'll be real honest with you. I don't need the critique that Sandy can bring, or that people that know me dearly can can bring into my life. But I don't want that all the time, but you know, I need it. I have to have it because they're aware of the blind spots that I have. And I'll tell you, the more we grow and the elevation that God brings in our life, and I believe God's bringing elevation into your life this year. I believe it's going to be a year of supernatural elevation for you. You're going to receive promotions and raises. You're going to receive bonuses, things in your life. There's going to be new houses. There's going to be new. There's going to be pregnancies. Things that are going to come into your life. But I think that self awareness that, man, I have some blind spots and I need strong, hardened people that are in my life that can speak into those blind spots, and not just the people that are buddies, not just the people that are just going to say the things that we want to hear. The third thing is that we have an inner resource. You know, 1 John 4:4 says that that we're little children of God, but greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. You know, we've got to know that. We have a resource on the inside of us. It's not the world's not going to be able to overcome us like we think that it can all the time. How's this going to work out? How's this going to happen? Man, I've got a resource on the inside of me that's greater than anything that I need. And we have to understand that. We have to know that, man, the world, it seems like there's so much more, but you know, the man of God turned to his servant and said, man, there's more with us than there are with them. The odds are for you. Even though it feels like we're underdogs, even though it feels like we can't win. You know, I don't know if you saw the center, Kelsey, for the Eagles had a speech at the parade, and I really can't recommend it because there's probably, unless you can find an edited version, toward the end of it, there's a couple of bombs that he drops that isn't church appropriate. But one thing he did is he went through the lineup of the Eagles. He went the owner, the general manager, the coaching staff, all of his teammates, and there's a room in the facility there, the Eagles facility, and the coach will put up every quote that someone said that was derogatory about any running back that was on that team. They're too slow, they're too small, they're too old, they can't stay healthy. And he posts them and he said, Are you gonna let this define you? What these experts and these analysts have said about you, what previous coaches have said about you. And I'll tell you, you go in there and it's motivating. But you know, what's been said about you? What have people said that you couldn't do? Have you let that define you? Have you let that be your identity? Are you going to decide that, wait a second, man, what's in me is greater than what's in the world? What's in me is greater than what's been in that definition or that opinion that's been about me. You know, I remember when Sandy and I decided to make it public that we were going to start a church for young people, for people that didn't like church. You know, I had people, really honestly, kind of blue blood people here in Tulsa that love God, that were part of the charismatic renewal nationally, but here in Tulsa specifically. And guys came up to me and said, oh my gosh, and I heard about your vision and what you want to do, and man, the church that you want to start, and man, I got to tell you, man, don't do it. You got a precious wife and you got two little babies, man, don't do it. And one guy in particular said, man, greater men than you have tried and failed. And I remember leaving that meeting thinking, you know, he's probably right. Man, we don't have any money. I don't have any background. I don't know that my education is enough for this. I don't have the experience. You know, I mean, there's great churches here in Tulsa. But then those words came back up and I said, man, don't do it. Man, greater men than you've tried and failed. And I thought, now I have to do it. You know, I went back and communicated with Sandy, and Sandy looked at me like, who are you? Are you the man I married? You gonna let that derail you? And you know, honestly, that became motivation. You know, the reason I went to Bible college is because I didn't want to go. And it kind of was pitiful to me. Kind of, no, are you kidding me? No, look at those people. But then when they denied my application because I hadn't been a Christian long enough, I thought, well, by God, I'm going. Man, you tell why'd you go to Bible college? Because they told me I couldn't. Man, they tapped into that rebellion in me. And you know, God will redeem that rebellion in us. Man, that fighting spirit that's on the inside of us, that when they tell us we can't do it, well, by goodness, we're gonna go do it. Man, we can win the world from here. That's what I've thought for 25 years about church. Man, we've been in the ugliest church buildings you've ever seen. And I mean, it's the Taj Mahal now, it's so beautiful, but I remember being there with the people that we were in there with. It's like, man, we could change the world from here with the people that are here. And we have to understand that there's an inner resource. That there has to be a self-sacrificing love. That's the intangible that we have here at Guts Church. It's not just a love for people. It's a love for people that will sacrifice self to help people. Man, what we do at the distribution center. Man, Nathaniel's sitting over here in the crowd and just serving in that. Man, Juan Charles, man, Blanca, you're not going to find people like that. And they're going to sacrifice anything they have to love people. And this 9:30 service is full of people that help it in every event that we do, in every outreach that we do. And it's just, there's a self-sacrificing love. And people that don't hesitate to display love and care to people. And I see people pray with people for a long time that it's like, man, the world's discarded them, but they're not about to be discarded here. Man, I love that. And they'll validate people. There's a unity here. There's a trust here. And people that have never been trusted in their life, people trust them here. And you know, that investment that we make in people, that self-sacrificing love that we give to people and compassion to people, it's God-honoring. It fills God's heart. And finally, the last intangible I want to bring up today is a sense of meaning, of purpose. It means something that you're here. And I think the world has lost that. I don't think we've done a good job at communicating the why of church. I think we're great at communicating the what, communicating the how, but the true why. I think about what our GYC is doing right now, and they're focusing on core and committed family kids here at the church, and man, they're developing student leadership with them. And you know what? All they're doing is they're deep-seating that why of church. Man, I get the why of church. Man, without church, I know where I am. Without the men and women that call themselves Guts Church, I know where I am in life. Man, it keeps me coming. It keeps me. A man thanked me this morning. He said, man, thanks for having church today. It's like, no, you don't get it. This is the why here. These are my people. This is our family. See, with Sandy saying, man, you talk about church with Sandy, man, it goes so deep. Why? Because it's our home. It's our family. And that's really what we live for. You know, there's the what and the how, but I think you can get that anywhere. The why, the purpose, the meaning, that's essential. But I think there's a huge disconnect, probably with millennials, maybe with older people. And it's the why. We have to build a compelling case for the why for people to buy into Jesus and buy into his church. You know, you think about how Jesus communicated it in Matthew 16, 18. He said, I'll build my church. And you'll think, oh, that's nice. Jesus is going to build his church. Yeah, I'd like to help him. You know, I'll throw in a couple of weeks. Man, you know what? I'll take a month off and I'll help you build that church. But that's not how Jesus communicated. He said, I'll build my church. And then he turned and he said, let me tell you something. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. That's pretty compelling. John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And then he said something else. And we shouldn't leave verse 17 out of there. He said, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through his son would be saved. See, God saves the world here. That's what church is. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. People get saved here, and then you know what? Abundant life is dispensed to them every time they come in. Man, why do we open the doors? Because we want to fill his house. Man, why do we do what we do? Because we want people to come back. I want you to come back, because if you come back, we can help you. Man, you let this integrate into every part of your life, I think it's going to enrich your life. I think you're going to receive promotion and advancement. Your life's going to get better, because you're not going to have to fight alone. How many guys fight alone? Your life, man, it's like I'm alone. I'm in this fight alone, man. We can't win this fight alone. You know why? We've got 3.4 blind spots. And I'll tell you, you get hit in that blind spot, it hurts. You didn't expect it. It hits a nerve. And there's intangibles that we have. We go into this, we feel like underdogs. You know what I say we do? I say we embrace that, like the Eagles did. And the Eagles embraced that whole idea that they, man, we're underdogs, but guess what? And what Kelsey said, that center, he said, a hungry dog runs fast. And you can't hold us back. There's a hunger in us. I want to win the world to Jesus. I want to help every family member and every friend you have. I want there to be collaboration. Really, honestly, I'm so looking forward to Joe McGee speaking next week. But after that, I want to talk about a spirit of collaboration that we can have where everybody has a voice, everybody gets a say, everybody gets to be a part, that there's a spirit of collaboration in our church. God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you today. God, that we may feel like underdogs on this earth, but we're more than conquerors through you, through Christ who strengthens us. God, I thank you for that today. God, I thank you that every battle that we face, even though we've been hitting our blind spots, God, I thank you that we are overcomers in this age by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God, I pray for every person watching here on the internet, every person listening to this podcast, and people that are present today. God, I thank you for a spirit of faith to rise up, that we put our trust in you, God, and no one else. Though men let us down, God, you never do. And God, we choose today to harden ourselves to difficulties. God, to lay hold of the victory and the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. God, I thank you that addictions have to be broken in our lives in Jesus' name. God, that we run and we jump and we praise you like never before. God, we want all of you we can get. God, I pray for people in here today whose lives aren't right with you.